This is The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott, and this story is from our episode, The Other Side of the Moon. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. In the spring, the full and new moons seem to call an orgy to the beaches along the east coast of North America. It happens from Maine to the Yucatan Peninsula, but the Delaware Bay in New Jersey and Delaware is the epicenter of it all. Steph Yin went to witness this spectacle at a beach in Stone Harbor, New Jersey.
It's a night for romance at the beach. Everything is swaddled in a blue satin light. The waves are liquid silver, churning and tumbling to shore. The tide is high, thanks to a full moon.
I mean, we are walking on the beach and we do not have headlamps on. You can see.
And what we are seeing are bodies piled across shore, writhing in a frenzied mating ritual, right there in the sand and surf.
Oh, yeah. Kids.
We see some here that are mating. There seems to be a ton of them here.
Like how many?
An uncountable number.
All right, before your mind wanders too far down the gutter, these are horseshoe crabs. Every spring, tens of thousands of them come to the Delaware Bay for the biggest sex party of its kind. The creatures seem prehistoric, and they are. Horseshoe crabs were around more than 100 million years before the dinosaurs, and they've largely stayed the same, which is why scientists sometimes call them living fossils. They look sort of like combat helmet meets frying pan meets extraterrestrial.
They are total aliens.
They look like something from Doctor Who, I have to say.
Multiple times through its life, a horseshoe crab will wriggle a soft body out of its outer shell, grow and harden into a larger version of its former self. Through these moltings, the animals can get quite big, especially the females. They can be as long as your arm and weigh more than a medium-sized bowling ball.
So here's a really big female. She's huge.
Horseshoe crabs have a dozen legs and 10 eyes, which on moon-soaked nights like this one take in lots of light. That plus powerful pheromones emitted by the females help male horseshoe crabs find a mate. When the spring high tides strike, the crabs know it's time to spawn. They swim and crawl to shore, powerhouse females towing chains of smaller male suitors behind them.
It's amazing how these females just tow like 10 males with her.
Yeah, it's crazy. They're already heavy, and then they're carrying all that extra.
Brittany Morey, a research associate for a local nonprofit called the Wetlands Institute, says one way to tell males and females apart is that the males have a pair of modified front claws. The shape of the claw helps the males hitch a ride.
So they use that to latch onto the female's shell, and they have a little groove here, so it's kind of like a puzzle, so that he fits on her shell.
Once they've made it to shore, the females dig themselves into the sand, right near the surf, and deposit thousands of tiny green eggs. The surrounding males release their sperm.
And the wave action mixes it with the eggs being laid by the female, and that fertilizes them, obviously. And then as she is finished, she crawls out, and the sand fills in around the eggs.
That's Bill Hall, a retired marine biologist who used to work for the University of Delaware. In the 1990s, Bill helped pioneer something called the quadrat protocol, a method for counting horseshoe crabs. Around that time, horseshoe crabs were experiencing a drastic dip in population, and scientists wanted a reliable way to monitor their numbers. The animals were threatened by two practices that still happen today. Fishers use the crabs as bait, and the biomedical industry uses lots of horseshoe crab blood for medical testing. It has a chemical in it that reacts when it comes into contact with harmful bacteria. When horseshoe crabs are overharvested, that has cascading effects because their eggs are food for fish, turtles, and migratory shorebirds. Today, there's a moratorium on harvesting horseshoe crabs in New Jersey and harvest limits in other states, including Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia. But still, it's important to keep track of their numbers.
Twice every 20 meters.
As we walk down the beach, researchers Brittany Morey and Sam Collins from the Wetlands Institute are holding a square meter quadrat made of thin PVC pipe. Along every 10-meter stretch, they plop it down in the surf at a random point, then count and identify the sex of every crab that falls in the square. After a kilometer, we end up with 100 data points.
Basically, male, 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 8 males, and this is the female, because she's buried.
On our walk back to our starting point, we flip over horseshoe crabs that have gotten stranded on their backs or stuck behind some kind of jetty, grass, rock, or rubble. If they can't flip over or get unstuck before the tide goes back out, the crabs will likely dry out and die on the beach.
There you go, off you go.
One volunteer, Amy Swanson, still remembers the magic of a field trip to the Wetlands Institute in high school and seeing the horseshoe crabs for the first time. In the more than 2 decades since, she's wanted to return.
It just feels like my whole life has come full circle because of it. It's that revisiting, I mean, it was 1993, 94 when I came down, and getting to all these years later come back to something like this is pretty special, and it feels really nice to be able to go back to my childhood in a really good way.
It must have made such an impression on you back then.
Oh my gosh, yeah, very much so, because we were kind of like an inner city school that I went to, and getting to see stuff like this up close and getting to have the hands-on experience was very fascinating. I know it drove a lot of us to actually go into the science careers.
All around in this group of 10 volunteers who are in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, there are many moments of revisiting, of tapping into childlike joy and curiosity.
Crab race. Go now that way. The other way. Come on, you can do it. You can do it.
Here, watching heaps of sex-crazed horseshoe crabs slither under the full moon, it is easy to tap into something underneath the trappings of our modern lives. Sue Slaughterback, an educator with the Wetlands Institute, says when she takes school groups out, she likes to do a little ritual at the end.
I try to have the kids turn their lights off and just stand there at the edge of the water, and you can hear the crabs shifting back and forth with the water coming over them. And just have the kids think about that they are here at this moment witnessing something that's been going on since before the dinosaurs were here. And will probably be going on way after we're gone. Realize that this life that we have, to be here and see these sunsets and see these moonrises and horseshoe crabs and birds flying, this is a precious thing that we have.
That story was reported by Steph Yin.